Our first lesson tonight is from Genesis 4, 1 through 15. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read responsibly Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken to my cry for help, my King and my God.
For I make my prayer to you.
In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice.
Early in the morning, I make my appeal and watch for you.
For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, and evil cannot dwell with you. Braggarts cannot stand in your sight. You hate all those who work wickedness. You destroy those who speak lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, O Lord, you abhor. But as for me, through the greatness of your mercy, I will go into your house.
I will bow down to your holy temple in awe of you.
Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of those who lie in wait for me. Make your way straight before me, for there is no truth in their mouth.
There is destruction in their heart.
Their throat is an open grave.
They flatter with their tongue.
Declare them guilty, O God. Let them fall because of their schemes. Because of their many transgressions, cast them out.
For they have rebelled against you.
But all who take refuge in you will be glad.
They will sing out their joy forever.
You will shelter them
so that those who love your name may exalt in you.
For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You will defend them with your favor as with a shield. The second lesson tonight is from 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8 and 16 through 18. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. may it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 17.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, again, grace and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this week, Jesus introduces us to two interesting people, alike in nature, but still different in how they respond to who they are and to who they feel others are to them. Jesus is talking to a particular group of people who have decided that they are it. They are the best of the best, the cream of the crop. No one can touch them. They can do no wrong. Everybody else is beneath them. They within themselves have decided they are the best that God has ever done, and no one will lift up to it. Not that we know of anybody like that in our lives or anything, or have met people like that. But we're introduced first to a Pharisee. Now, what is a Pharisee? A Pharisee is a member of an ancient Jewish sect. They are distinct by the observance, the strict observance of the law. And they commonly held to a claim that their sanctity was superior to others. It was a self-righteous person. They followed the legal traditions, not really as the Torah said, but to the fathers of traditions. They were attentive to outward ordinances and actions that would make them appear righteous. They wanted everybody to see how good and decent they were as a member of society. They made that their number one priority. They were not concerned about being righteous in their hearts. They were concerned that you acknowledge to them that they were righteous. And Jesus had a lovely H word to describe the Pharisees. Can anybody tell me what that H word is? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. A hypocrite is a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs. You know, you've heard the saying, say one thing, do another. They were very good at pretending, of having the feeling that they were it. So the Pharisee is the first one we're introduced who enters this temple. And then we're introduced to a tax collector. Now, I'm sure you realize that tax collectors still exist today, that that's not something of the past. We just have a different name for them, an alphabet soup, I call them, agency. For the sake of you guys not getting banned on any of the social media, I'll just keep it an alphabet soup agency. A tax collector was very much known for gaining personal wealth by demanding tax payments in excess of what Rome required of their citizens, and they kept the difference. They were looked down upon by the general public because, really, who really likes to pay money to the government? And on top of that, the person collecting from you is collecting way above what Rome is saying that you owe, and they're taking the difference. They cheated people. They were well-to-do. And the lower classes, as they put, resented the injustice of having to support the lavish lifestyle of the tax collector. Now, what's odd is that when we read about Jesus in Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 15, the same Pharisee chastises Jesus. How dare you sit with sinners and tax collectors? Because again, sinners were beneath them. And tax collectors, well, they were a tax collector. And then we meet Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. Jesus ate with him. So it's sort of weird in a way. Jesus calls the Pharisee a hypocrite, and then he eats with sinners and tax collectors. So now you know the group of people Jesus is talking to, people who feel that they have not done anything wrong, that they within themselves are righteous. So he says, he talks about a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector entering the temple to pray. And in this parable, there's a rich spiritual truth, and it speaks the very essence of the gospel. Again, Jesus is speaking to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others because they weren't righteous enough. You see, the hearers needed to understand that Jesus had a mission on earth, and that was to save sinners, those who knew they could not save themselves. So here comes the Pharisee on Project Runway. And note his prayer. He stood and prayed in the temple. There's no indication that he ever knelt. He stood. He was so righteous, he stood and prayed. And he starts thanking God that he's not like other men. And he starts to make a list of things. I mean, can you honestly hear the snarkiness in this man? Oh, thank you, Father, that I'm not like this tax collector. I'm not like my neighbor who lets his dog poop everywhere. I'm not like my coworker who talks too much. I'm not like this person over here who shows up late. Thank you, I'm not like others. Doesn't even start out with confession. You know, that I confess that I've done something wrong in the past week, the past hour, the past minute. No confession anywhere, no asking for forgiveness. Why? Because he believes he's done nothing wrong. Now, you've never met people who feel they've done nothing wrong, right? No matter how blatant the truth is in their face, they've done absolutely nothing wrong, and they will not apologize. And the thanks, again, that he offers exalts himself and places him above others. It is a condition of his heart. And he gives a rap sheet of what he has done. You know, I went to college, I got a bachelor's, and then I got my master's from Oxford, and then I pay my tithes, and, you know, I keep under the speed limit wherever I go. I always pay fines wherever they are, and who the heck cares? That's not why you came to the temple, not to give a rap sheet about what you did. You're already singing that out in the streets. Now you're in the house of God. But again, he doesn't care. And he even ends it by saying, I'm even better than this tax collector who knows that he's a turncoat, who knows that we don't regard tax collectors as people. I'm even better than this tax collector. Thank you, God, for making me better than this tax collector. And so now, here's the tax collector. He stands afar off. We're told he stands afar off at a distance. He doesn't even go near where this Pharisee is. And he doesn't start by giving a rap sheet about what he's done. He doesn't start by pointing at the Pharisee and say, thank you for not making me arrogant like this Pharisee. The first words out of his mouth is, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. He speaks of his unworthiness before God. He doesn't even lift his eyes to heaven. The burden of guilt and shame is weighing heavily on him. Because in his mind, in his heart, he's carrying a load that is unbearable. We're told that he beats his chest repeatedly in sorrow and repentance, and he appeals to God for mercy. Have mercy on me. We don't know a rap sheet. He doesn't give a rap sheet of what he's done, what he has done, what he will do. He doesn't talk about the people that at one time hated his guts because he did cheat them. He doesn't talk about any of that. He knows that he's cheated people. He knows that he's living a lavish lifestyle because he takes advantage of the poor. He knows this. And he beats his chest, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I've confessed this, and I need your forgiveness. And it's his prayer, an attitude that is exactly what God wants from all of us here. And so what does the tax collector's prayer show us? It's an example of Matthew 5, where we read the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, admitting we have nothing to offer God to atone for our sins shows our humility. You see, when we come to God, we are empty. We are impoverished. We are despised by other people. We're bankrupt. We're beggars. We know we've done wrong. We know we've hurt people in some way. We are there to ask God's mercy, just like the tax collector did. Have mercy on me. I'm going to need your mercy. This is another day. I'm going to encounter somebody who's going to get under my skin. I know I'm going to do something wrong, but God, I need your mercy to get through this day. And we're told the tax collector humbles himself before God, and He doesn't confess any amount of work. He confesses his sin because he knows it's only God who can forgive him. And so what is the good news in all of this? You know, why is Jesus taking the time to tell these people who we've already deemed self-righteous? Well, why is he taking the time to tell them this parable? Because there is good news. And in that good news, it begs the question, are we truly humble? Are we truly brokenhearted? Do we know that we are in a desperate state and need God? And not just tonight, not just when we get home, but every single second, minute, hour, day of our life, we need God. And if we are truly brokenhearted, we come to God humble, we are assured of God's boundless love and forgiveness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because no good works, no amount of times going to church, no amount of tithes you pay, no matter how many thank yous and yes ma'ams and yes sirs, and how many times you go to that food shelf, no amount of good works is sufficient to blot out sin. And that's what the Pharisee was not getting. Or maybe he did and did not care. Either way, we're not told. But the good news is that God sent Jesus to die on the cross. That in his death, it is the only work that is able to cleanse us. The only work that is able to bring us forgiveness when we confess our sins before God. And makes us and puts us in right standing before God. That is the good news. That we have a high priest. That we have a savior. That we have one who walked among us who knows our heartbreak, who knows what it is when people get under your skin, who knows what it's like to be depraved. Because of him dying on the cross, we are in right standing with God. We have access to God. So let's not make the mistake of comparing ourselves to others and trying to gain confidence from what we see. I remember my mother sending me to school always. When I would complain about students, you know, putting me down, she said, honey, they're only putting you down to make themselves look better because their self-esteem is low. But you don't need to do that because we are sons and we are daughters of the Most High God. We don't need to put anybody down. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We don't need to compare ourselves to others. We don't need to give a rap sheet of what we've done. The fact that we walk with the Most High God and Jesus is our Savior, that's good news enough to live by. And our standard of comparison really is God, and we do fall short. But again, praise God for Jesus, our Savior, who makes us acceptable before God, just like he did that tax collector. Do you agree? Amen.